Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media. Good morning or afternoon or evening, whenever it is you're listening to us. I hope you're listening live. And if you are, you are always welcome on to the show at 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. Love to speak with you. You can also leave messages over at A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras Facebook page. Send me a message there, or I think you can actually send a text on the 573-4BREAD-4 line. I always forget that aspect. So if you have anything to say today, any questions, how's your Lent going? Or if you, during the show or any of the other shows that you've listened to, have just some thoughts you'd love to share, always interested in hearing what you have to say. 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. I hope you enjoyed our interview on Monday with Dr. Mary Amore. She talked about her DVD, From Mary's Heart to Yours, from Pauline Books and Media. And I think it's so neat sometimes how the Lord just, you know, he just guides my life. And I'm so grateful for that, because I can be a hot mess. And so I'm always happy to hand over the reins to him, which is going to be a lot of our conversation the rest of this week when we talk about The Gifts of the Visitation, this wonderful new book, 9 Spiritual Encounters with Mary and Elizabeth from Denise Bossert. And this is from Ave Maria Press. Well, it was not supposed to be this week, but it turned out to be a merry week in the end, because my guest, who was supposed to be here Friday, got called away on business and he's not able to join us. So we're going to put him later in the year, I hope. Really looking forward to it. Was the Gospel of Happiness. And I can see his name. I can see the cover of the book. It was Christopher Kazor. Kazor? K-A-C-Z-O-R, and I believe it's actually Father, but he is not able to join us. So Denise Bossert, who was supposed to be here in 2 weeks, I love that the Lord he's so good to me. He spoils me rotten. She and I were going to pre-record a show on Friday right after my live show. So I just sent her a quick message and said, Denise, can you move up an hour? And gratefully she can. So I have moved her book. So we're going to have an all Mary week. Well, yesterday was, I forget what we showed yesterday. Maybe the parenting the grieving child, because that's been on my heart still, as my son Adam, he's doing so remarkably well. But of course, it's always difficult because grieving is a long process. It's not an overnight process. And, you know, maybe this is a merry week because that's who I've given him over to. Because if anybody understands what it's like to grieve someone you love, it's Mary. I mean, she, not only did she grieve losing him for those 3 days, but she also had to watch his horrific death. So, and she just has a heart of a mother like no other mother. I'm a mom, but I have my moments where I'm not such a great mom. I'm a little self-absorbed mom. And I'm so worried about my own problems or my own issues. But yet she's constantly worrying about us being our mom and caring for us. So anyway, so yesterday's show was indirectly a merry day, but today and tomorrow I'm going to be discussing with you just the themes and the thoughts that come behind Gifts of the Visitation from Denise Bossert from Ave Maria Press. Today we're going to be looking at spontaneity and courage. Spontaneity and courage, as it's taught to us by our Blessed Mother, and just, you know, looking at our everyday life and how that, if, you know, how that fits in to the things that we're called to do in the name of the Lord and in our own life. The older I get, the shorter I realize life is. And I don't mean that as a doom and gloom thing, but it's just, we have to be, I think, always heavenly minded, or we can get very discouraged or overwhelmed. Really to be thinking of the fact that each and every one of us, whether We like the fact or not, we don't get out of this life alive. We all are mortal and we all have to face that final judgment and that final moment here on earth when we get to go to our eternal reward. And I think having that hope for the future, that's a future. Like I don't even know how I could get up every day and function in this world if I thought this was all that I got. And then you think about people who, like I had two children that I conceived and yet never got to hold. They both died in the womb. And I just think, what would their purpose of their life be if there wasn't something beyond this? So I don't know, just think being heavenly minded is an encouraging thing. It's an idea of joy and hope. And we all have to have hope. It's those three things, right? Hope and trust and love. And the greatest of these is love. I don't think it's trust. I think there's something else that goes there. But basically, you know, we have beyond, we don't have to hope for something beyond this world, because we have to hope for something beyond this world. But in the end, all there is love, because once it comes and we see Jesus face to face, and I do believe I'm going to see Jesus face to face, hopefully he's pleased as punch when that moment comes and I haven't been too much of a, what's the word? Mess up. I haven't been too distracted by my own self to have not pleased him in what I have done here on this world. So I really loved getting this opportunity to move Denise's book up and to spend some time contemplating the gifts of the visitation, the 9 spiritual encounters with Mary and Elizabeth, out from Ave Maria Press and author Denise Bossart. She will be here on Friday, 10 a.m. live, which is exciting, to talk about her own conversion story, her own lessons that she learned from Mary, her own, how she embraced these things of courage and spontaneity and joy and readiness, these spirits that she talks about in her book, spirits of there's another one in here, Thanksgiving, and wonder and awe and hospitality. Yeah, I'm gonna dive into hospitality. Hospitality, easy for me to say, tomorrow, and you'll see why, because it's not something that I'm very comfortable with or very good at. Oh, yesterday was Edmund Mitchell's. Thank you, Jennifer. It was last week that I did The Grieving Child. But there must have been a reason I mentioned it. Somebody needed to be made aware of that exists out there so they can listen to it. But yesterday was Edmund Mitchell. That's right. He is from Reverb Culture, and his new book kind of brings together the catechism and the scriptures and unruly, right? No, that's not it. I'll get it for. Oh, I'm a hot mess this morning. Can you tell I have not had enough coffee? I don't know what, you know what it is? Honestly, I kind of got up a little late because my sons decided at 1:30 in the morning they needed a snack. And they're going into the kitchen, woke me up. We live in a very tiny house. I mean, pretty much you sneeze and you wake people up. And I was saying if you fart, you wake people up. I guess I should have just, okay, that's a little crass, but really, I am too. So really, it's a small house. So if you go in the kitchen at 1 o'clock in the morning and you start wrestling papers around, you're going to wake your mama up. And then mama is not going to be able to get back to sleep. And then she's going to be tired in the morning. And so after I put daughter on the bus, I may have taken a little nappy, and I haven't done my morning prayers yet. So I really think that's probably why I'm such a hot mess. It's not like you need a whole lot of time of prayer, but it's really important to have a point of prayer in the morning. I just dove up and started to go right into reading and preparing for today's show and checking my email and, you know, making sure everything was all set for the day. Lesson learned tomorrow and for every day. God comes first. He tells me, let me make me first, girlfriend, and your life will be much better. It's not going to be smoother. It's not like I'm still not going to be a hot mess. I am who I am. But I certainly think that when I put God first, I'm a little less of a hot mess. So today we're going to be talking again about gifts of the visitation, 9 spiritual encounters with Elizabeth and Mary, from Denise Bossart from Ave Maria Press. I'm so excited to move this book forward to today. Let me just tell you a little bit about Denise before we go to break. She is the daughter and former wife of a Protestant ministers, not the same guy, two different people. Denise converted to Catholicism in 2005. Now, this is going to be great speaking with her tomorrow because I reverted back to Catholicism at about the same exact time, 2005. So kind of spirit must have been on fire that year. After being inspired by the books of St. John of the Cross and St. Teresa of Avila, Bossert writes a syndicated column called Catholic by Grace for diocesan newspapers across the United States. She has also written for the Canticle magazine, now called Woman of Grace, Woman for Faith and Family, and Catholic Exchange. She appears on a variety of television and radio shows, including EWTN's Journey Home and Women of Grace, the Sunrise Morning Show, Catholic Vitamins, On Call, and Seize the Day. She gives talks at parishes and to women's groups on conversion, Women of Salvation History, which is so cool and interesting, and spiritual mentoring. Denise and her husband, John, have 4 children and 5 grandchildren. She does not look old enough, FYI, to be a grandma. And she lives in Missouri. So I have heard a lot about her. I have read her stuff on the internet. I'm very intrigued by her message and her story of conversion. She's just a wonderful person. I think you're going to really enjoy spending time with her on Friday. And when we come back, I know you're going to enjoy some of the conversation that we're going to have about spirit of courage. Has God ever asked you to do something that's really taken your spontaneity? Like you just had to make the choice on the spot, and a great deal of courage. I know that I've shared that I've got an adopted child. Her daughter Faith is from China, and that took lots of courage. That took the spontaneity. I wasn't as quick to answer as Mary was, but I certainly needed courage to see it through. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We are talking for the next 2 days about Gifts of the Visitation, 9 Spiritual Encounters with Mary and Elizabeth from Denise Bossert, out from Ave Maria Press. As you know, this is your on-air book club, which means that I take the books that I love and want to share with you, but we're not going to review them. If I'm talking about it, I'm endorsing it. I'm loving it. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Yes, my brain is total squirrel today. Just come along for the ride. So Denise will be here on Friday. So I'll leave a lot of Denise's story out of the discussion for the next 2 days. It's a great conversion story, but it's more than that. You know, I love conversion stories. I love how people come back to the faith, but interspersed with her conversion story is how she lives it every day, which is truly the heart of what I hope that when we spend time together, that you walk away with. Like, okay, great. God loves me and Jesus, you know, suffered and died and redeemed my soul. So, but why do I want to, you know, live this out every day? Like, can I just do my thing? And in the end, you know, Jesus and I can discuss this. But there's such a blessing that comes from living day to day, every day, you know, yoked to Jesus and, you know, living a life of faith. And when we get to, you know what, I'm actually going to go over there right now. This gift of courage that she talks about in the second chapter. And in it, she talks about how, you know, isn't there something somewhere God has, like, called you to be courageous with? I'm trying to find I jumped ahead, which is never a good, oh, here it is. Never a good idea. She said, if you've ever, to be open to whatever God wants to us, she writes, Denise Bossert writes in this book, Gifts of the Visitation, to be open to whatever God wants of us. We should respond with an eager and spontaneous yes when God reveals his plan. And then we can put on the mantle of courage and follow through on our promise to God. How does one get the courage the gift of courage. Where is the door to this gift? Does one need to pray the Shema or meditate on some scriptures? And I'll go back and explain the Shema in the next. I'm going to try to flip flop how I'm presenting this today because the spirit is a moving and my brain is a running. Oh, my friend, she writes, this gift is already yours. You may not realize it. You may not have ever activated it in your life, but you already have the gift of courage. From the moment the bishop sealed you with the Holy Spirit at your confirmation, you have been the beneficiary of the gifts of the Spirit, wisdom, understanding, right judgment, courage, and so on, Denise writes. It does not matter if you have you are naturally brave. It has nothing to do with your DNA. In the sacrament of confirmation, you were given the courage, gift of courage. You have only to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to manifest the manifestation of this gift. But even before that, even before you were baptized, God came to you and led you to himself. You had just enough grace to find your way to the sacraments. So even then, there was just enough courage to help you find your way. And that is how it was for me. And she goes on to talk about her RCIA, the Rite of Christian Initiation classes that she took, which were her gateway from the Protestant faith into learning about the Catholic faith and being prepared to receive her sacraments. You know, the sacrament, the baptismal sacrament is accepted from the Protestant church into the Catholic church. So you're not rebaptized. You only can receive one baptism. We are taught that. But then people who have already been baptized can now, during this rite of a Christian initiation, they become prepared to receive their first communion, their reconciliation, and of their confirmation. Often they receive their confirmation at the same time as their first communion or their first Eucharist, which is kind of really cool. If you've ever been at the Easter Vigil Mass, which is when this is usually taking place, it is incredibly moving. Last year, was it last year? My friend Leslie joined the Catholic Church, and it was, I don't think I've ever cried so much during the Easter Vigil. It was so beautiful. I was in between laughing and crying because I was moved to tears by her excitement and her enthusiasm for being able to receive Jesus for the first time. And I happened to be sat next to this woman who was at least 90. And I don't think she'd ever been to the Easter Vigil Mass in her entire 90 years. She was hysterical. She kept talking, hysterical as in humorous, but I don't think she was trying to be humorous. I think she was aggravated because if you've ever been to or you know, a vigil mass, I'll tell you a little bit that it's long. It is so long. It's like it starts, usually the mass starts with the one reading and then we do the responsorial psalm and then we do another reading, second reading, and then we do the gospel and that's it. Those are the liturgy of the word. And then we go on to the homily, which is also part of the liturgy of the word. But then, you know, it's not very long, 20 minutes, half an hour tops. Well, at the vigil, we have at least, I think there's up to 5 or 6 readings you can have. We, at that day, I think we had 3, maybe 4, and then you have a response or a psalm in between each of them. So every time we'd go to the psalm, and she thinks we're going to getting ready for the gospel. So we go to the first reading, a psalm, the second reading, and then she think, yes, gospel time. They would go and do another reading or another psalm. And she was hysterically funny, just rolling, like just huffing and puffing. The saying things out loud are like, you gotta be kidding. And she was loud. I guess at 90, you pretty much earn the right to just say whatever you want. But it was clearly she had never been. And we were standing and sitting and it was, oh my gosh. It is beautiful mass. One of my favorites. In fact, even though my husband will be, lecturing at 10:30 on Easter Sunday morning. Most likely, I'm going to grab one of my kids and head to the vigil mass. Usually, it starts at dark. It has to be, there's a big fire that you do outside, and they bring bring the Easter candle into the dark church, and then we light all of our candles. It's just the bomb diggity. Truly, I wish mass was like that every single week, though of course if it was it probably wouldn't be as special as that and we would all get used to it, unlike this woman just barely had never been before in her life. So Denise is going to share again on Friday about her conversion story and how the courage helped her to go forward. But I was thinking about the courage it took for me to leave behind my old ways. And that's really what I felt like was God was calling to me when I was feeling this tug in my heart to join the, to rejoin the church. I had already kind of gone back to church. Like, I was born Catholic and I went to catechism, got confirmed, got married in the church. But shortly after being married in the church, my husband and I, Kevin, stopped going to Mass. It was like, well, we have more important things to do. And, you know, we're tired. We started working full time, and Sunday was our day to sleep in, and just didn't seem important. And then our lives weren't fulfilled. I guess, like, there was something missing. There was something wrong. So one day I said to him, let's try church, because we've tried everything. We're deep in debt, trying to buy stuff and feel better. We're trying to work ourselves to feel better. Nothing was clicking. I said, let's try God. So we started to go to Mass. But it was wonderful. We got involved in lots of stuff, but I was still just fulfilling some obligation, just being there. And you know, I would leave Jesus at the door. Absolutely. You know, Dave Barry talks about how you can, I think that's his name. Is it Dave Barry? I don't know. He's on EWTN's show there. With the priest. Oh my gosh. Oh, such memorable people. Anyway, I'm trying to give him credit for this really great thought that he has. He talks about the baptismal font at the end of the church, at the door of the church. And when we come in, we put our hand in it and we bless ourselves. And then many people leaving, though you don't liturgically need to, many people leaving the church will do the same thing. They will bless themselves. And he said, remind him of a time clock. You know, we come into Mass and we check in by sticking our finger in the water, almost like a time card being plopped into a check-in, and we bless ourselves into that little punch, time punch. Those are very old-fashioned time punches. Oh, there probably some factories still have them. And then we're leaving Mass, we do it again. So he's saying, I used to do that. I would check into Mass, be all God, all about God for an hour, if that, and then we'd leave, and then we'd leave God at the church, and we'd not take him with us. Around 2005, kind of the same as Denise, somebody invited me to a Bible study. And it was there that I started to realize that there's way more to God than I gave him credit for. And I started to understand. I started the Bible study that I was brought to, believe it or not, we read the Bible, which I had never done before. And I started to see in his word that he was calling me to a different way of life than I was living. He was calling me to put aside a lot of my behaviors that I had become quite comfy with and felt they were very integral parts of who I was. Gossip, drinking, flirting, spending money. These were all things that I thought defined me. They were all my enjoyment, and they were things that were very difficult for me to put aside. When we come back from these messages, we're going to talk about each one of those separately. Gossip, drinking, flirting, and spending money recklessly. How I thought they were the things that were going to bring me happiness and fulfillment, and quickly learned they weren't. But when it came time to put them aside, when I started to grow closer to God and felt a draw to a different way of life, this courageous step that I needed to take, wasn't so easy. If you want to join and share your story, 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. We're looking at the gifts of the visitation from Denise Bossert and the courage of our Blessed Mother to say yes when she was called to, as we learned on Monday with Dr. Mary Murray, not the most safest decision was to become the mother of our Lord and Savior. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Okay.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media. We are talking today and tomorrow about the gifts of the visitation from Denise Bossert, Nine Spiritual Encounters with Mary and Elizabeth. This book is out from Ave Maria Press. And as I said, and I try to say often, this is not a review show. It's your on-air book club. Not everybody has time to read as many books as I seem to have time to read, a book a week. And I love bringing good spiritual reading to you. My intent is to use these books, these wonderful books, as a drop-off. That's not the word. Springboard. That's the word. I'm like, pitch it a plank. And what am I doing on my plank? I'm springboarding. I want to use these books to springboard a conversation with you about all kinds of different spiritual things. And then on Fridays, I am so blessed that the authors will come and tell us more about themselves, more about the book, and they can dive deeper into the actual content of the book. But for now, this is just the thoughts that come up as if we were sitting in Bible study. And if you've ever had a chance to go to a book club or a Bible study group, mine is kind of a Catholic Bible study book club on Monday nights. I call them the Bible babes. And oftentimes, we read books just like Denise's, and we will, somebody will read a line from the book, and the next thing you know, we're talking for an hour about definitely things about God and about our faith and about how we're living it, but maybe not specifically the words that the author has included. And I love that about books. I love that we read them and they each touch our hearts in different ways. But when we come together and share it, that's when the true magic happens. Like, our faith's meant to be shared. We're not meant to be, trying to do this in a vacuum or trying to do it by ourselves. That's impossible. And that's one of the things that I learned, when Kevin and I went back to church. Yeah, we were doing it together, but we weren't really talking about it beyond the walls of our church and during the week. But when I was brought to this Bible study, when my friend at that time, Claire, reached out and said, "Hey, here's a book for Christmas," and it was The Purpose Driven Life, and I think I'd like to get everybody together, get together a group of women at my home and talk about it. And the first time I went, it was so overwhelming. I was so nervous and felt kind of out of place. I'd never studied the Bible before. I'd never even really opened one. And I didn't know scripture. People could, say these scriptures off the top of their heads, and they could create these beautiful prayers out of nothing. It was all new and foreign to me, and I thought, I'm in the wrong place. But I stayed with it. I think the Holy Spirit kept me there, and as I often confess, it was because of the snacks. I do not bake. I'm a horrible baker. There's no bit of hospitality in my heart at all, which is why tomorrow we're going to talk about hospitality, because that chapter really made me smile and really taught me something. So I want to talk about that tomorrow. But today we're talking about spontaneity and courage. And it was my friend's courage to ask me to go and my spontaneity to say yes, because I heard there was snacks. And it's what kept me week after week sitting in that chair, even though I felt uncomfortable and awkward and thought, I don't have anything to offer and I don't even know why I'm here. In the end, it was learning about God through His Word and other people's encounters with Him that opened up my heart to really embrace the faith much deeper and in a much more concrete day-to-day way. Before I talk about the ways that the Lord asked me to change, for my good, by the way, sometimes we think, God's going to ask us to change because He wants to control us and He's mean and wants to say no to us, which is how I often felt. I don't want to change that. That's going to make me boring. But that's not at all what God has. Always in our best interest. All God has is in our best interest. He loves us and He wants us to be with Him forever in heaven. So every no from Him is a yes to what is what's better for us. But during the break, I got a great email from Virginia Lito. Virginia Lito, L-E-L-I-E-T-O. Oh, Virginia, I'm sorry if I said that wrong. Anyway, she sent me this great message. Oh, there she is. Lieto.com. You can go there. She gave me a quick message about, because she's the virtue lady. She over at virginialito.com. She blogs about them, teaches. She just has, I told her, she's a wealth of knowledge when it comes to the virtue. And she reminded me that courage is an acquired virtue. It's associated with the cardinal virtue of fortitude. And that's why we receive it as a gift at our confirmation, because if it's it's acquired. We need to accept it from God as gift, but we also need to work on it. We can't work on it. It's a gift. Gifts aren't earned. They're just given. I get it. So we have it, as Denise taught us in her writing again here at the Gifts of the Visitation, that it doesn't have anything to do with being your DNA or being brave. It is this gift from God that we're all given to seek Him out. So, and for me, the courage came when I started to realize that first and foremost, I was reading the scriptures one day and it talked about treating others the way you'd like to be treated. And then it talked about putting aside different behaviors. And one of them was gossip. And I was like, I don't like people talking about me. So I suppose it makes only sense I shouldn't be talking about other people. But quite honestly, I was really concerned that I'd lose all my friends, and people were only my friends for what I had to offer them, what I had to say. And I thought it made me really funny because I would gather like a little, hen group around me after the PTO meetings. We'd go out for drinks and I'd always have a little audience and I would play it up. And I was like, without gossip, what am I going to say? In those audiences, like what will I have to offer? And I did lose friends when I said, all right, Lord, I won't do this anymore. It also came from a very painful lesson of having something come back and bite me, which is only inevitable if you're gossiping. Something eventually is going to come back and bite you. And also learning that people were talking about me and it wasn't all true. And even what was true was painful. You think you're trusting somebody with something, which of course people thought they were trusting me with things. And there I was talking behind their back. So I did lose friends. I lost a lot of friends. But like Job, who lost everything but remained faithful to God, I remained faithful to this new way of life. And the Lord brought many blessings to my life, new friends, an abundance of friends, and friends who I consider more trustworthy and more sincere and authentic friends. I don't think they want anything from me. If they do, well, then they're bumming because I have nothing to offer. But prayers, which is good. I guess that's a good gift to offer people. Prayer and support and love. I guess those are all good things to offer, but definitely not like I used to feel like I had things to offer. And I loved that the Lord took away that behavior because what I used to wake up with? Okay, so this is a normal weekend for my husband and I would look like. So we had two little boys and we'd hire a babysitter, and we weren't never picky, by the way, about the babysitters. We just wanted to get out. So we had babysitters. We had one that nearly burnt our house down because she took the word of a 6-year-old who said, "Oh yeah, yeah, that goes in the microwave for 7 minutes." Oh my gosh. And she was watching my kids. Anyway, and another one that would put them to bed at like 6 and then have her friends come over. That was a good one. So, but it was the days before cell phones and our kids couldn't call and tell us, guess what? So we'd only have them once. It's like we weren't, dumb enough to have them back again. But anyway, so we would throw a babysitter at the house and we would take off to a party like we were in college again. And we were drinking. And once I started drinking, I always started to flirt. Lots of insecurities in forever I have dealt with insecurity, and for some reason any attention, whether it was a good attention or not, always made me feel better about myself. So the more I drank, the more flirty I became, and then I would, the next morning, so we'd been drinking, I'd be gossiping, I'd be flirting, and the next morning I'd wake up not only with a physical hangover, but what I like to call a moral hangover. Like, I just didn't like myself. I didn't like anything about what had happened the night before. I didn't like who I was and what I had said or what I've done and the behavior. And then I had to like go on my normal life and show up at school, with my kids and be like, "Oh, hi. Yeah, I was just hanging on you yesterday, and that's stupid." And it was horrible. And of course, we would not get invites back. Gee, I wonder why. So it was really good that the Lord kept reminding me, like those moral hangovers that next day were God's sweet, gentle nudge that what I was doing was not okay. And it was not what He had in store for me. It was not what was best for me. It didn't feel good because it wasn't in my best interest. It wasn't the abundant life that God had for me. And I laugh because as I think about the invitations would started to dry up because of my behavior. Well, they dried up even more when I made the change. I still drink. I just don't get drunk. I still enjoy wine and my gluten-free beer. I just learned to control myself and not lose my inhibitions and not lose control of my tongue and my body. And those are all good, good things. Those are all things you wanted to remain in control of. And I was thinking about how the last invitation that we used to go to a person's house and hang out as adults. And the last invitation that we received, I never received another one after this, was when we were at the party and somebody started to misquote the Bible or something about the commandments, I believe. And in my purse, I pull out my little travel Bible, flip to it and start to like talk about what the Bible really teaches. That was my last invitation. And that was okay, because again, the Lord brought me new friends, friends who, when I pulled out the Bible and started talking about God's word, were as enthralled by it as I was, and I was where I needed to be. But at first, it was hard. It was hard to let go of that person and all those friends and that way of life, and I was petrified. But the Lord had given me this great gift of courage to embrace it and say yes. We'll be right back with more about our gifts of the visitation from Ave Maria Press. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned. Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We are journeying this week for 2 days with the gifts. Well, actually, there's no the there. It's just called Gifts of the Visitation, 9 Spiritual Encounters with Mary and Elizabeth by Denise Bossert. And this is out from Ave Maria Press. And I am so excited to have Denise here on Friday to talk about her conversion story and her book. And the next 2 days, we're going to be using her book as our on-air book club, as we just pull out themes and thoughts. And if you'd like to share any of the themes and thoughts that come to you as we're discussing it, 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. If you are one of the hundreds of people who I am so grateful to, by the way, who listen on the podcast version, you can always send me a message at allison@breadboxmedia.com if there's anything about the show that you want to discuss, any topics or thoughts that come out and you want to flesh them out further. Always excited and interesting to hear from you. You can go to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Facebook or send a message at allison@breadboxmedia.com. You can also go to my website, Reconciled to You. One of the things for Lent I really wanted to do was blog every single day. I've never been able to be consistent with my blog. I feel like it's always been willy-nilly, higgledy-piggledy, whatever goofy little word you want to use. But so far, halfway through Lent, I've been so blessed that I've had the grace, probably because I gave up television, I actually have not only the grace, but the time to get up a post every day. Mondays, I'm doing Money Mondays, which actually is related very much to today's topic. It is the outspurt, the outgrowth, I think that might be the word I'm looking for, of my time with Evelyn and John Bean, who were here on the show a few weeks ago. They have a show also on Breadbox Media called Manage Your Money God's Way, and they have a small group Bible study called Navigating Your Finances God's Way. So it's, I think it's Manage Your Money God's Way, and this is Navigating Your Finances God's Way. But you can go to compasscatholic.org to get all the information. But one of the things that came from my reading their book and contemplating my life with money, which is, we know, if you listen to any of my November shows, you know, it is we've been a basket case, just been a mess because of my inability to handle money. And I think that also came as part of my reversion, is that that person before that was always trying to fill voids in her heart with stuff, shoes, specifically shoes, books, videos, movies, music, whatever. I would just have piles and piles. I think about my house before the digital media age, and I just had clutter, like hoarders, Media Hoarder International, like, sign me up. I am the president. I had things everywhere because I was just trying to fill voids in my heart that it never thought of to fill with God. And where's I going with that? Who knows? Anyway, we're just trying to fill voids, like ear voids. Like, Allison, some days your brain is so scary. Anyway, if you want to help me fill a void, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. I haven't done that in a really long time. Like, early in the Seeking Heart time back in January last year, I would have lots of those times where I was like, where was I going? What was I talking about? Who knows? I haven't done that in a while. So it's always refreshing to be humbled in the fact that only human brain doesn't know where it was going. So, and it was talking about the Compass Catholic and navigating my finances and really trying to give up a lot of the ways that drew me further away from God. And Mary is such this amazing example of somebody who was prepared to receive what God had for her. And it was a dramatic formative moment when that angel showed up. I'm sure she had plans and dreams, and she was going to, she's going to marry Joseph. And many scholars believe she was always intended to remain a virgin. So, she was probably going to help him maybe raise his children. This people who say that he was older than her and that he had children. So she was going to help raise his stepchildren, take care of him, as a wife, in the sense of being like a domestic engineer. But she definitely wasn't thinking that she would be the mother of God and somebody that 2,000 years later we would still be talking about and praying to and asking for intercession. And so there's things in our life that we have a plan. We think we're going one way, but as Denise writes in her book, if you are a person who loves God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your resources, which was the Shema, S-H-E-M-A, I'm sure I'm saying that wrong. She was traveling I think she went to Jordan. I think she was part of that trip to Jordan, to the Holy Land, basically. I'm sure she went to more places than just Jordan, but she went to the Holy Land and she noticed that many of the homes had these scrolls, little boxes with a scroll attached to it. And in the scroll was the Shema. And the Shema is a prayer that basically boils down to what she just said. Loving God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your resources. As the Shema instructs, you will be a person who is ready with an immediate yes when God calls. The gift we receive through the recitation of the Shema is the gift of spontaneity, a heart after God's own heart, a will conformed to his will, and hands and feet willing to serve. And when you're first considering being that type of person, it's scary. I was petrified. I didn't know what else God was going to ask of. What else was God going to take from me? I thought again about Job, and God took everything, his family, his home, his livelihood. And I was afraid, Lord, what are you going to take from me? Are you going to take my children? Are you going to take my home? What is it more, what behaviors and is my life going to get totally totes boring? Totes boring. That's what I kind of thought was going to happen. I had no idea that when you are willing to open up your heart and give him everything, like Mary was, your life is never boring. It is filled with blessings beyond your compare. And he tells us in the Psalms, that he delights in giving you the desires of your heart. The problem is so many times we are so closed to figuring out what that desire actually is, that he can't give us, he can't fulfill that desire because we're too busy trying to shove other things on top of it that we think will make us happy. I thought shoes would make me happy. Okay, shoes still do make me happy. Not going to lie. But I'm now a little more picky about what shoes will make me happy. And I don't try to amass as much as I can. But as I'm learning too through this study and on Money Mondays, that's what I was talking about, my blog, that's it. So I have this So go to my blog, reconciledto.com. You'll see what I'm talking about there. But so I've added Mondays where I'm talking about how amassing wealth. No, it wasn't wealth. It was debt and stuff did not make me happy. And then on Tuesdays, I talk about Lent, just kind of musings about my Lent, how it's going. Then today is worth revisiting Wednesday, which is really fun. We go to look at past posts. Tomorrow will be Small Success Thursday. And Friday, I kind of just tell you where else you can find my writings along the internet. And then on Saturday is now become book review day. Hey, I remembered. Yay. And Sunday I take off because it's a day of rest. We need to have that day of rest. So, you know, back to this Gifts of the Visitation, Denise Bostert's book from Ave Maria Press. You know, the spirit of spontaneity, was I willing to give God everything I had with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my resources? And the amazing thing is that when I did, when I finally decided, okay, God, I give up, white flag, because I know that you love me and I know you know what's best with me, the things that the Lord did from that moment forward have been nothing less than miraculous. Maybe looking at my life from the outside, the day to day, you might not see the miraculous, but I do. I see that I now have peace that I never had before. I now have direction and purpose. And I used to really, really, really fear dying. Not that I'm like ready to sign up for it tomorrow, but I'm not afraid anymore because I know that my life in some way pleases God because I desire to please God, as Thomas Merton says. I may still have some rough edges that the Lord needs to help me prune out and smooth out through sacrament, scripture, and prayer. As you know, it's my grace trifecta. I think if we all focus our lives on grace, on scripture, sacrament, and prayer, we'll all find that we, like Mary, have these wonderful gifts, these spirits of spontaneity and joy and courage and hospitality and humility and adventure and wonder and awe. And I'm so excited tomorrow to go even further into this book with the thoughts. And I'm definitely going to be blogging this book. There's just too much in here. She even has a novena, you know, me, novena queen. That's the 9 prayers that you say, 9 days of prayer in a row for a special intention. Love my novenas. Right now, I'm actually doing the Undoer of Knots one from Pauline Books and Media, a little $3 book. That's just adorable. If you want more information, you can go over to Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Facebook, and I'll make sure you get it. The Catholic faith is just rich and endowed with so many ways to get to know God better. His Blessed Mother, our Blessed Mother, is just one of the greatest gifts that we have. She has so many lessons to teach us. She is a model of holiness, and holiness is not boringness. It is a model. Holiness is a wonderful way of life. It comes with peace and hope and joy, and who couldn't do with more of that in their life? I hope you will join me tomorrow when I continue our conversation, our on-air book club, about the Gifts of the Visitation from Denise Bostert, out from Ave Maria Press. You have been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.